You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.
It's time to lean back and buckle in. This ain't your grandma's early learning podcast. Then again, your grandma probably didn't know what a podcast was. Hey, moms and dads, puppies and kittens, caregivers and advocates, it's time for Shaking Bones. Here's Dan and Amy.
Hi there. Welcome to the Shaking Bones podcast. I'm Dan Hodgins.
And I'm Amy Ahola.
In this episode, we're going to talk about holiday time. Why do we have to have so much teacher crap? In this episode, Amy and I are hanging out together to tackle the untouchables. Sometimes you might challenge your beliefs and maybe even stretch your comfort zone. Most importantly, we want to make you think. We don't expect agreement or disagreement, but what we do hope is to cause some shaken bones. I am telling you, Amy, I am so upset with this holiday crap because I see it everywhere. And, you know, it's interesting to me, and I just wrote a little article about it, but it's interesting to me that we can do process stuff all year round, but then when holidays come, people pull out all this teacher crap that they've had all year and start doing it with children. And I keep wondering, what causes this? When we know the whole year, it's not okay, but then we do it during holiday time. Do you have any guesses about why we do that at this time of the year?
You know, I think there's a lot more pressure during the holidays, you know, to produce something for the parents. And so I think it's, you know what I mean? I think there's the idea of giving a gift, a tangible gift that the child has made, because I do know that parents do, you know, treasure different things that their children have made. You know, I can think of different things that my son has made throughout the years that are definitely something that are important to me. But I think part of where we get stuck in this trap in early childhood with this is we forget that, you know, educating the parents in terms of the importance of process and giving an opportunity to continue with our process, there are still ways to give parents pieces of that.
Yeah. But, you know, somebody emailed me last week asking, because I had said something about what the hell is peppermint Play-Doh? You know, and they got really upset with me because they said, well, the kids love to smell it and it create. I said, but did they ask for this? And they said, no, but it's something new we created and we're doing it during the holiday time. I'm thinking, well, why is peppermint only a holiday experience? It didn't make sense to me. So I need someone to help me understand why they would do that. Is that you, Amy? You're going to help me understand.
Dan, you know, I don't know. But, you know, some of this goes back and it gets to be really tricky sometimes for me being in my own home. And I think there are lots, you know, different programs approach the holidays differently. And we definitely approach the holidays a lot differently than we did in the beginning, you know, where we don't do a lot with holiday celebrations unless the children bring in or ask for things. So I fully anticipate that we will be decorating Christmas trees in January. You know, after the holiday, because the children want to play through it. And that's when they're going to ask for the tree. Although last year, my children asked for the tree about mid-December. And, you know, they ask for it and it comes out. And because I have children of such a wide age span, you know, I had a 14-year-old come off the bus today who just wanted to come in and visit and hang out, who came here when she was younger. Because I have such a wide span of ages, you know, some of the older kids are really into making their own ornaments and doing that kind of thing. And then when the younger children see that, they ask and want to be a part of what the older kids are doing. And so I think it varies from, you know, from program to program. And we have come a long way in terms of, you know, the children making tangible things. But one of the things that I've done to try to, you know, still be able to give the parents something is, you know, I take a lot of pictures. And so I try to capture moments for parents now versus some, you know, some craft that would be done. Although a lot of the children do end up, you know, a lot of the 3 and 4 year olds, when they see some of the older school age kids doing things, do end up making different things. But not just at the holidays. That happens, you know, all the time. But we tend to have ornament making. But like I said, a lot of times that happens in January, not in December, after the fact. But it's one of the residual things that comes. So
if the child is instigating it and wants to do it, and you say to them, and I know you do,
yeah,
you know, what do you need to make that? That I'm much more comfortable with than somebody who sets out something in the art area that looks like and is a decoration that will require some skills that I don't believe that young children necessarily have in terms of something that they can make for the tree. I'm much more comfortable about that than I am about school agers who start making crafts and the preschoolers begin to wanting to do it too. As a modeling proponent that the school agers in a mixed classroom, I'm going to expect to see that happen. But things like green and red paint at the easel at this time of the year drives me nuts.
Right, because you know what?
Drives me nuts.
And we all know that green and red make brown. So, you know, and by the end of the season, there are a lot of brown, you know, there's a lot of brown anyway. You know, one of the things I've always said is anybody who's been in early childhood for a long time knows that there's no reason for them to produce brown paint for children, because that's the color that you continually, you know, preschool brown happens no matter what you do. There's no reason to pay for it. So, you know, but yes, you know, and I think it's such a hard thing for people to grasp, and people get so defensive about it. And, you know, with the scents and the Play-Doh, you're right, peppermint can happen any time of the year. And a lot of the Play-Doh that we make is scented too, but I don't tend to use peppermint. We usually make our Play-Doh with Kool-Aid, because that's what'll give it the color if the children want to color with it. So it'll be whatever scent that the Kool-Aid is, and they don't have peppermint Kool-Aid. But, you know, in terms of a lot of those types of things, it's, you know, it doesn't have to be related to a theme for the holiday.
Yeah, I think the other issue that bothers me, and again, it could just be me, but what bothers me is when we ask children to make gifts for someone, and I'm okay with the child who says, I want to make so-and-so, and I'll say, what kinds of things would you like to make, what will you need, that kind of thing. So I'm not opposed to gift making. I'm opposed to whether or not the child selected and instigated that is being part of the challenge. So knowing that children are very egocentric, and it doesn't mean that all are at the same level, but again, they would rather make something for themselves than something to give away in terms of that process. So some of that just defeats what I know and believe about children in terms of that.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times, again, we've moved from having the children do things, you know, for their families or for their parents, because we did that in the very, you know, in the beginning. And we've moved away from that a lot. And one of the ways, again, to kind of, you know, find a middle ground, if the children are asking to make something or they do want to make it, is, you know, let them take it home as their own. Like most of the children who, when they ask to make ornaments, they take it home and it is the child's, but the parents hang it on the tree and they, you know what I mean? They see it too. And so it doesn't have to be wrapped up for a parent just because the child, you know, the child decided to make it. And be a present for the parent. It's for that child. And honestly, you know, as a teacher or as a provider, there's absolutely no reason, if you really want to give a gift to the parents, that you can't take a picture of the child doing something that they love and give them a picture frame ornament or something like that, where you're the one who, you know, puts the picture together and the ornament or whatever. Parents are going to love that just as much as something that the child made, because it's showing their child really engaged in play and doing something that they love. So that might be a way to, you know, if you really feel like you need to do something to make that happen.
Yeah, and the nice thing about that is that it's something that the parent or family can enjoy, and it wasn't forced upon the child. It's something that the adult gives to an adult as a representation of what took place in their program. Now, what about the idea, and I know this is really controversial, especially for home providers, because I've dealt a lot with this, the whole diversity issue in terms of people saying, I celebrate all faiths or all traditions, which is not true. They can't. It's just not possible. You would spend your whole life trying to do that. But I do hear from home providers saying that it is their home and therefore they should be allowed to practice whatever faith their family practices. But my challenge with this is it's in their home, but it's a program provided for people outside their home. Am I way off on this, or that's part of my challenge also with the whole holiday time?
Dan, it's a challenge being a home provider with that, especially when you have your own children, because you want to make sure that you are, you know, you're staying true to your family values and what your family believes. And I think the best way as a home provider to handle that is, again, not to, you know, do too much of that during business hours. But of course, you're going to have your own decorations. You're going to have your own things out. And the best thing you can do is just communicate with the families upon enrollment about your beliefs and what, you know, the types of things you're celebrating, and ask the parents, you know, what types of holidays do you celebrate? Do you, and find out if you're celebrating the same holidays, and find out, you know, just because everybody celebrates Christmas, not everybody believes in Santa or gives presents to their children from Santa Claus, and all of those things. So it's kind of important to, you know, be very open and honest about those conversations with potential clients and the families in your care. And, you know, for me, we try really hard not to impose anything upon the children. But let me tell you, we talk a lot about the holidays after the fact, because that's when the children are most excited about it. And they come back and they tell you about all the things that happened. And they, you know, we have a Santa outfit in our dress up that gets worn more, you know, in June and July sometimes, where kids are pretending to, you know, to be Santa and that type of thing. And so, but, you know, it's an opportunity for them to initiate that play and talk about things.
Yeah, and I can see where that would be different in a home setting, because you're right, it is your home and your family lives in that home and practices particular things that, of course, your family has the right to do. But I love what you said about, you know, when people enroll, it would be a nice conversation to have with families who are enrolling, whether it be in a home center or outside the home, to get a flavor for what people do or not do in particular situations that would be helpful in terms of understanding what needs to take place in a program rather than unnecessarily ignoring it altogether. I love the Santa suit that you talked about with children. It's just part of the dress-up kind of thing. And just like anything else, if you're going to be a superhero character, would not Santa be one of those? Think about it. So, you know, this whole idea of children being able to put it on any time of the year to me is kind of a really fun aspect for children. Is the whole idea of the holiday stuff that we do, maybe the question needs to come back to what we talked about in an earlier podcast. Where does this activity come from? Does it come and initiated by a child, or is it initiated by the adult? And perhaps that would make me a little more comfortable if I knew that the experience was being selected and directed by the child rather than necessarily by the adult. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And again, you know, it's one of those things, and I know people struggle with it. And like I said, I know home providers struggle with it because we struggle with it too, because you have to find that balance of you know, how that works with when it's in your home and your children and your family are there. Of course, there is going to be some of what you do, some of your traditions and some of your customs and culture is going to rub off on the children in your care. But it's a matter of being really aware of that and trying to make sure that you have a little bit of separation and at least have an understanding with the families in your care of what is going to be happening because of that.
Yeah, I'm still not comfortable. I'm comfortable with what you're saying, but I'm still not comfortable with pretzel reindeers and cupcake flowered Christmas. I can't get comfortable. And it's because I think that in most cases, it's just not appropriate. And it's not focused on the process. It's focused on the product again. And yet, most people will say to me, I believe the process is more important than product. But then at this time of the year, I'm seeing people slide in the products. And I really believe that what you stated earlier is that some people believe that there is more pressure by parents and families during holiday time to produce these things. For whatever reason, but there does seem to be a trend in moving that. But what I like what you said is that maybe what we ought to focus then on is how to help the parents and families understand that even though it's holiday time, process is still a crucial part of that. Would you say that?
Definitely. And, you know, and it's a hard topic and it's a hard thing because, like I said, you know, people at the holiday times, it's stressful to begin with. You know, there's so many different things going on. There's, you know, everybody's got Christmas parties to go to. Everybody's worried about finances with shopping and presents and, you know, all of the different aspects that come into the commercialized part of what our holiday can be sometimes. And just all of the busyness of things, I think is just another, it's really hard to stay centered and true sometimes when you've got so much stuff going on. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, just slow down, take some deep breaths, you know, remember what the center of everything is, and that is the process with the children and the relationships with the children, and being able to work through that in a crazy, hectic time of year.
Yeah, it is a hectic time of the year. I think, you know, I love it when children come in and they sing Jingle Bells that they've heard, you know, whether it's or something of that sort, and they sing it all year round because they don't have any time concept. I'm not suggesting that those kinds of experiences should be removed, especially since the child instigated that. So they'll say, do you want to sing Jingle Bells with me? And I said, sure, teach me how it goes, even though I know the song. Show me, you know, sing it to me so that I know, make sure I've got the words right. But to me, that still is involved in a more process-orientated, a more child-selected, instigated experience, and the child really is directing that, then for me to lead an activity that would not necessarily be something that even the family supports. And I think that that's a crucial component of this. Just taking a step back, observing carefully, You know, taking that deep breath, because it's all around us at this time of the year. It starts, I think, before Halloween even is over now, is that the Christmas stuff and the decorations are out. So it starts stimulating this experience early and earlier.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. And you know, you start seeing all of the stuff come across on the over social media and all of the things. And I know we did that episode on Santa's watching, but the Santa cams that are out there and the elves on the shelves and, you know, all of this, not only is there all this other stuff going on, but, you know, children have this idea that they're, you know, being watched and being, in addition to all of the other stuff that's going on, it just adds a lot of extra stress that's not necessary.
And I think part of it might be that adults are reliving their childhood through the elf on the shelf or whatever. That seems to be the most popular thing every year. It's something different, but it's really not something that necessarily helps to support the child, but it does seem to stimulate the adult and giving their permission to be a child again. Well, we're at the end of our series about teacher crap and making it holiday time. And I realize it's an exciting time of the year. I just want us to begin to think about how much excitement we really want to create and whether or not it's appropriate for children. Thanks so much for letting us shake some bones on this topic, and I know it's one that shakes bones. If you have questions or want continued discussion, you can email me at dkj5075@aol.com or Amy at...
You can email me at amyahola@hotmail.com or you can find me on Facebook at Child Central Station.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
This has been Shaking Bones. Dan and Amy will be back next week for more Bone Rattling. Stay tuned.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.